Good morning, New Hope. Welcome to church. It's February. February. We're really glad you're here with us. We're glad you braved the weather and came out to worship together, and we're glad if you're home joining us online. We are very grateful for that. Let's stand and worship God together. Amen. One, two, here we go.
Come down.
your flesh and bone. The wounds that have set my soul's forgiven. Ah, now I can hear the darkness trembling. All of my fears like Jericho walls gotta come down, all of my fears like Jericho walls gotta come down, oh Lord. My prison turns to ruin when your love moves in. All of my fears like Jericho walls gotta come down. Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a on God's celestial shore. What a great promise. Amen. Hallelujah.
There is a river that flows from
Gave them peace within. Amen, amen. Don't you want to just sometimes jam with this worship team? It's awesome. They are so great. Thanks for your leading us there. Yeah, let's give them a hand. God uses them mightily. Let's go to the Lord as we get ready for our message. God, thank you for this morning. We love to worship you. And Father, would you just continue to prepare our hearts to receive from you and learn from you. And Father, I pray that we would be changed and transformed by your word, that we wouldn't go away just the same old person, but that we would be renewed by your word and encouraged to live for you. I pray, Father, that we would go all in, that we would not care the things of this world. We get so tied to them at sometimes, and sometimes they hold us back. And Father, we just want to be all in for you. And Father, we want to be prepared when you come back, Lord, that we're serving you with the gifts that you've given us to serve you. So Father, what a joy it is to minister to one another and care for one another and come alongside one another. God, lay it on our hearts to pray for the body, pray for one another. Those that are going through difficult seasons, Lord, we lift them up. We ask that you would lift them up, Lord. We pray that you would restore them and encourage them and heal them where they need healing, Father. So, Father, we come expecting to do a mighty work in our lives. And, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ every day and that we would proclaim the hope of Jesus throughout this community and throughout the world. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning, Luke chapter 5. We're in a series called All In, where we're kind of going through a lot of different stories in Luke, where we're seeing Jesus kind of call us out in areas where maybe we thought, hey, we're good with the Lord, but all of a sudden, maybe we've been riding the fence a little bit. Maybe we haven't gone all in our faith. And so that's what we've been examining. We started off this series kind of saying, hey, what's our foundation? Is our foundation the stuff of this life, this world, or is our foundation in Jesus Christ? And we examined that we put our full trust in Jesus. Then we talked about also living generously, that we realize that everything that we have is a gift for the Lord, and we could store it up, we could kind of watch it build up, or we can use it for the kingdom. So how do we use the resources that God's given us for his kingdom so that we'd live generously? And then we talked about also that we'd live ready, that Jesus is coming back, and that we wouldn't be caught lazy and just falling asleep, but we'd be ready, we'd be active in his work, that we'd be active in the gifts that he's given to us, and we'd be worshiping him, and that's how we'd be caught. We'd be living ready in the Lord. And last week we talked about this amazing grace. And I think the more we understand the depth of our sin, and we understand how good God is, and that he gave up his son, Jesus Christ, for us. And when you realize when your salvation is been given to you and what's been done on the cross for you, it changes everything. It transforms us. So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 talking about, we're going to see some good friends here. And I pray that God is making us, as we go all in, good friends as well. That we would be coming along those that need the love of Jesus, that may need breakthrough in their life, and we are interceding on their behalf. And we're going to see that in the passage today. But I got to tell you, about a month and a half ago, sometimes when Josh and I are hanging out, we kind of look for movies. And you know, you've seen a lot of the movies. And I kind of think back to those movies that I've seen before and that maybe he hasn't seen. And I remember one, and we came upon it, and I said, oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. Have you seen that? Anybody seen Mrs. Doubtfire? Okay, that's Robin Williams, and Robin Williams is kind of this character that kind of, he gets divorced from his wife, but he really wants to hang out with his kids, and his wife says, no, that's not going to happen. Well, he kind of fools his wife into hiring him as the nanny, because he's dressing up as this kind of this older woman that's really fun with the kids, and there's a lot of funny moments, and there's some sweet moments, and some sad moments, but the thing about it, what drives him to do this is desperation, right? He's desperate to be with his kids. He doesn't want to lose his kids. He wants to spend time with them and kind of win back their hearts. And so he's desperate. So he dresses up this way. And the reason I kind of bring that up is because I think a lot of times we've probably all faced at times desperate times. And when we're desperate, we'll do things that we can't even imagine, right? We'll do things that we can't even dream of. And I bring that up because we're going to see desperation in this story today. That's what we'll see with these friends. So, Luke 5, verse 17, we're going to make our way through this passage. It says, on one of those days, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, and also from Jerusalem, and the Lord's power to heal was in him. Now, I wanted to stop there for a moment. That Lord's power to heal was in him. I think that's a very interesting phrase. Because if you had the New King James Version, it would say the power of the Lord was present at that moment to heal. Now, I just kind of want to touch on this just for a moment to help us maybe a little bit grasp kind of what's going on. So Jesus here, you know, he could have absolutely done this healing, this miraculous healing, because he's the Son of God. He could have done this on his own. But one of the main purposes of this gospel, the Gospel of Luke, is to show the power of Jesus. What Jesus relies upon is the same power that's available to us. So he relies upon the power of the Spirit of God. And so therefore, he's saying, because if we said if Jesus, you know, healed someone, well, we said we're not the Son of God. We could never, you know, do a healing or call out on prayer and the Lord in the same way. But Jesus relies upon the Spirit's power here. And we can rely upon the Spirit. As we put our faith and our trust and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can have the same guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what Luke's kind of making this point here. That Spirit, the presence of that Spirit was here and present for healing. And so we kind of wanted to point that out to you. Now we go on to verse 18. Verse 18 says this, "Just then some men came, carrying them on a stretcher, a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on the stretcher through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus." Now, what do you hear there? We see desperation, right? That's why they're breaking through the roof tiles. They see the doors filled with people. I can't get in. They're going to find a way. We see they're so desperate, right? We're going to, you know, see that here. Verse 20, it says this, "Seeing their faith." Now, that's an important detail. It says their faith. And we're going to come back to that. That's going to be one of our key points that we're going to look at today, is seeing their faith. And he said to them, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, when they heard this, the ones that brought him probably thought, well, that's great. Thank you that your sins are forgiven. You know, that's better than your sins not being forgiven, right? But the thing is Jesus, do you see that? I think there's something more pressing here. Do you see this man's paralyzed? He can't walk. And I think Jesus' response to that would have been, you know what? There is no more urgent need than the forgiveness of sins. That's what he needs, is forgiveness of sins. But in verse 21, it goes on, it says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, who is this man who speaks blasphemies, and who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, that's a fair question, right? And we kind of talked about this a little bit last week. There was an example about this same thing. You know, who can forgive sins but God? When we sin against God. Therefore, it's God's place to forgive. And here Jesus is saying, your sins are forgiven. And they start whispering and saying, well, that can't be. So I want you to know, indirectly, he's making a very direct claim to being God. Because it was like maybe you and a friend of yours last night, or maybe your spouse, got in a really big fight, okay? And you guys were just saying really mean things to each other. And so, you came to church, you're still not talking to each other today. Well, after the service, if I went up to you and said, hey, I know what you said to each other last night, and it was really hurtful, but I want you to know I forgive you. The one who got, you know, kind of all the brunt of it would say, you can't do that, Pastor George. No, you don't have the right. That's not your place, because I was the one that took that, and you would be absolutely right. Now, when Jesus forgives, and they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus would be saying, ding, ding, ding. That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying here. And he's making this indirect claim that he is the Lord. And I think it's important to note here, why did he maybe do this? We don't know exactly why he didn't reveal it directly, but it may have been possibly too aggressive of a statement. And maybe he really wanted people to maybe chew on and wrestle on what he was teaching. But here he's making it very clear in forgiving sins that he's accepting the role of God. And that's very important for us to recognize. Verse 22, let's continue on, says this, "But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, why are you thinking this in your heart?" I love this. Jesus did this last week. He's like, you know, he's like, I see what you're thinking, okay? He's already in calling them out, proving to them that he's more than a prophet, right? He's going around reading their minds, saying, I know what you're thinking in your minds. You're trying to, you know, question what I'm doing here. And he calls it out. In verse 23, he answers them. He says, which is easier, to say to you, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Now, that's a really good question, right? So I'm going to ask you, which one's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to get up and walk? Well, it's to, you know, your sins are forgiven, right? Why? Because it's not verifiable. You know, if I say your sins are forgiven, you know, everybody's wondering, okay, I guess my sins are forgiven. But if I say get up and walk, and you're laying there on the ground, I say get up and walk, and obviously they don't get up and walk, they continue to lay there. Well, guess what? They know I'm a phony. They know I'm a fake, that I don't have the power to do what I said I wanted them to do. So there's a verifiable one, and there's an unverifiable one, where he says, you know, he kind of recognizes that. And the truth is that both of them, forgiving sins and causing this lame man to walk, both required only God can do that, okay? So he uses the verifiable one to get up and walk in order to prove and show them the unverifiable one, that he absolutely has the power to forgive sins as well. So that's kind of, I hope you get that kind of logic, and that's what he's kind of doing here. Because in verse 24, he says this. He says, but so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told them, the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Verse 25, and immediately he got up before them and picked up what had been lying on, and he went home glorifying God. And then everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God, and they were filled with awe, saying, we have seen incredible things today. Wouldn't that be, don't you love seeing those miracles, those major acts of God where somebody's healed or a restored relationship, and you just go home, man, what, that is beautiful what God just did. And you just, that's what they're doing, they're experiencing. They saw this man be healed, and they say, what incredible things we've seen today. Now we're going to focus the rest of our time on two main ideas. If you want to write these down, you can, but they're both found in verse 20. That's where we're going to focus. In verse 20, it says this. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And in that verse and in that passage, we see two things. We see our desperate need, and we also see our desperate faith. And those are the two things we're going to focus on. Our desperate need is the first one. Now, in that, you know, when Jesus offers him forgiveness of sins, it's almost like he was being almost a little bit cruel, because it would have been incredibly obvious why he was there, okay? They just lowered this man on a mat, he's laying there, and all of a sudden he goes right over that. He skips right over that, and he says, hey, I'm going to address your greatest need. Your greatest need is for forgiveness, even more so than physical healing. And he said, he's desperate for physical healing. And this guy is just desperate to be physically healed, and Jesus is desperate that he's going to be restored back to a right relationship with God the Father. And he knows that he needs forgiveness. And that's a constant theme all throughout Jesus' ministry. I mean, just look at Luke 15. I always love Luke 15. And think about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd has a flock of 100, and one of them wanders off. Well, he leaves the 99 and desperately goes after the one and brings them back. So we see that desperate need to be restored to the Father. Just like the woman in Luke 15, the widow, she cleans her house desperately and looking all over in the cupboards and looking for that lost coin. There's desperation. We see her desperate need. And just like the prodigal father. The prodigal father gets scorned. The son takes his money and runs off and spends it how he wants. And he's out there, and the prodigal father, even though he had been burned, is just looking, and he's waiting. And he sees the son off in the distance and coming back, and he runs to him and wraps his arms around him. He's desperate for him to be restored. And he treats him like, you know, he hasn't even gone in the first place, and he loves him. And I think the truth is, for a lot of us, is, here's the deal. I don't think sometimes what we perceive as our greatest desire doesn't match up with our greatest need. And maybe that's true for you. What you perceive as your greatest, what you think is what I really, really need, is sometimes not what the Lord says you really need. So what does Jesus say we need? He says we need most is forgiveness. And you know that may seem strange to you, because some of you are saying, no, people have hurt me. The people that have hurt me, they need to come and seek forgiveness from me. Well, let me tell you, if you want Jesus in his wisdom, what he does is he sees, hey, if you've been really wronged, you need my forgiveness. And when you understand my forgiveness, then you will be able to forgive them. You'll be able to restore that great hurt, that great pain. And I think a lot of us carry those pains. We think, no, they've got to ask my forgiveness. When in fact, when it compared to the Lord, we've all wronged the Lord incredibly more than someone's wronged us. And we've received his forgiveness, and we realize, therefore, we can extend that forgiveness to someone else. Because I think all of us have this desire. We have this, God's given us awareness that we are not in a right place with him. Because we've tried as a society to remove the guilt of sin. We did that by saying, now you just make it how you, there is no morality anymore. Do what you see is right in your eyes. That's my truth. I'm going to live how I want to do. But even though you start living like that, and we've tried to remove the guilt of morality in this culture, the thing is God in our hearts, it tells us, and we know when we are not in a right relationship with God. That's just the truth of it. Christians have this implanted in our hearts, a yearning to be rightly restored to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think some, maybe kids in here, or maybe young adults, we kind of have this, live with this fear that we're always disappointing someone. I don't know if you have that fear, maybe that fear of if I let my parents down or my family down, or if I get an F in this class, then it's going to lead to me failing and it's going to destroy my whole career. We kind of live with this fear. Well, that fear is telling you that something's wrong between you and the Lord. You're not in right relationship. There isn't a joy, there isn't a peace there that God calls for us to be there. So Jesus cares absolutely about what your greatest needs are. I don't know what you think your greatest need is. Maybe a better relationship or with your spouse, or a better job, or a better car, or better finances in order to pay some bills. That's sometimes we think what we need most. But Jesus says, you know what? Yeah, I care about those, because you're going to see that in just a minute, because he's going to heal this man. But he also wants us to know he cares most about us being restored to our Heavenly Father and the forgiveness of sins. And the good news is that's why Jesus came. He came and went to the cross for us, and he paid that penalty for us by the blood of Jesus, which we just celebrated. So that's the good news. But I want you to know we have a great need. We're desperate. And our desperate need is we need the forgiveness of Christ, even more over things that we think we need. The second one is this, our desperate faith. And in verse 20, it points this out. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, when it says he saw their faith, then he said to this man, your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk. This miracle was not produced not so much by this paralyzed man's faith, but by the faith of his friends. And on behalf of their faith, that desperate faith that these good friends were seeking the Lord, he did this miracle. He forgives the sin, and he says, get up and walk, and we see that. So maybe, it's their faith. It's their faith that said, hey, you know what? We need to get him to Jesus. We don't know why this man was sick or couldn't get to Jesus himself. Maybe he was discouraged. Maybe he'd been trying to receive healing for a number of years. Maybe he was paralyzed. Maybe he couldn't talk. Maybe he was just, but these friends said, you know what? We need to get him to Jesus. Jesus can do something about this. And so his friends, it was their faith that said, hey guys, get the mat. Okay, put him on. Okay, 1, 2, 3, and lift. It was their faith that went to that door, and when it was stuffed full of people, didn't give up and say, guys, it looks a little too full today. Maybe we'll do it another day. No, they pushed through. It was their faith that went up on the roof. It was their faith that started digging through the roof. It was their faith that felt the persecution of those that are saying, hey guys, stop that. And the owner of the house saying, you know what, why are you messing up my roof? Get off my roof. It was their faith that lowered him to the floor and at the foot of Jesus Christ and expected, hey, okay, master, what are you going to do about this? That was their faith, okay? And I want you to realize this. Maybe it's something you want to write down today. But when this paralyzed man could do little for himself, it was the active faith of his friends that made all the difference. And so what is Luke maybe trying to teach us this morning? There are times when, our faith can be so weak. And we can be so exhausted. We can say, oh man, I've been trying so hard and it's just not working out. And you're at the end of your rope and things aren't looking good. And you're fighting here. Your friends are fighting. Your relationships are fighting. I'm not going back to church. No way. They treated me like this, or someone lied, or someone hurt me. And we kind of, our faith can be exhausted. But what God calls us to do as good friends, and I called that this message, good friends, because what we do is when they're too weak, we carry them to Jesus. We carry them there. And because of our faith, the Master wants to do a miracle in their lives. And I don't know who it is that God is calling you to carry. Maybe it's a coworker, a friend, a child. But God has placed you in their life. And here's what happens. We do the heavy lifting, and they receive the benefit. Okay? They receive the blessing, and we want God to do a miracle. And God may have laid it on your heart. God uses us, and that's what he does at times. He kind of uses these different aspects of faith. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gift of faith, the spiritual gift of faith. And I always kind of got a little bit confused. Don't we all have faith? But in seminary, I read a book that talked about different aspects of faith. And I just want to share that briefly with you. Maybe it'll help you kind of recognize and connect with this. The first one is salvation faith. Salvation faith is what we do when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." All Christians have that at all times. That's what makes us Christians. We have salvation faith. And then there's the second one's kind of what we would call sustaining faith. And sustaining faith is this basically this general confidence in the goodness of God. That he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he's at work for the good of those who love him or are called according to his purposes. And so you say, oh man, they have incredible faith. Well, all of us can have sustaining faith. It's just an incredible confidence in a sovereign God and the will of his will. And so we have sustaining faith, we have salvation faith. But this passage in 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, some have been given the spiritual gift of faith. Now, when I looked at that, I wanted you to know it's this spiritual bestowal of faith that God gives to certain Christians at certain times because he wants to do a miracle in and around them. He lays it on your heart saying, I want to restore them. I want to do a work in their life. So he starts laying it on your heart. Start going to the Lord. Get on your knees. Pray it out because I want to do a major work here. And that's what he's not necessarily talking about salvation faith or, sustaining faith. He's talking about this special spiritual gift of faith which God gives to those that are walking in the Spirit and they're leaning into the Lord and he wants to use you to do something miraculous. It's incredible, and that's what we see here, and that's what these friends do. These good friends are those kind of friends. They are carrying this man to Jesus, and I pray that we would be people that carry them to Jesus. So my question is, who's in your life? Who's paralyzed? Who's hurting? Whose faith is exhausted? Who's worn out? Who's around you that you need? God is laying it on your heart. Carry them. Pray for them. Lord, intercede on their behalf. Maybe it's a child that's literally running away from the Lord, and you're praying, Lord, just bring them back. Allow them to see their sinfulness and their wickedness and turn back to you, and that God's causing you to lift them and do the heavy lifting. I got to tell you, I wanted to share an example of this, and my dad in college shared with me a book. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala. He read it, and he's like, I want you to read it, and I read it, and I enjoyed it. We actually rented a car in college, and we rented a car from Kansas City, and we drove all the way to Brooklyn, New York in one night. We just drove through the night. And we got there, we wanted to go to their Tuesday night prayer meeting. Every Tuesday night, they have these prayer meetings, and it was awesome. It was wonderful. We showed up an hour early, and let me tell you, we were the second from the last row, okay? It was packed out, and people were praying before and after, and it was wonderful. So we got there, and we prayed, but I got to tell you, in his book, he shares this story about his daughter. His daughter who's gone off and basically a prodigal and that ran off and was running away from the Lord. And he shares this. I want to share this story because it's like what we do. We do the heavy lifting when we intercede and we pray as good friends for those that are struggling and hurting. This is what he says in his book. It's a story. We entered into a time of prayer like Acts 4, everyone reaching out to the Lord in concert together. And he said, an usher handed me a note. A young woman whom I felt spiritually sensitive had written, Pastor Cimbala, I feel impressed that we should stop the meeting and pray for your daughter. In a few minutes, I picked up the microphone and I told the congregation what was going on with my daughter. There arose a groaning and a sense of desperation, determination as if to say, Satan, you will not have this girl. Take your hand off her. She's coming back. And I was overwhelmed. And the force of the vast throng of the people calling on God almost literally knocked me over. When I got home that night, Carol, his wife, was waiting up for me. We sat at the kitchen table and I said, it's over with Chrissy. You would have had to been at the prayer meeting tonight. If I tell you, if there is a God in heaven, the whole nightmare is finally over. 32 hours later, on Thursday morning, my daughter walked in and we both began to cry. Daddy, she said with a start, who was praying for me? Who was praying for me on Tuesday night, Daddy? Who was praying for me? And I didn't say anything, so she continued. In the middle of the night, God woke me up and showed me that I was heading towards this abyss, and there was no bottom to it, and it scared me to death. I was so frightened. I realized how hard I've been and how wrong and how rebellious I've been, but at the same time, it was like God wrapped his arms around me, and he held me tight, and he kept me from sliding any further, and he assured me, I still love you. I'm not walking away from you. That same Tuesday night, the very hour the church was praying, God moved on her soul and showed her that she was headed towards destruction, all while flooding her heart with a sense of his love. Isn't that incredible? That's what it means for us, friends, to be carrying people to the Lord Jesus. We have to have desperate faith. And I'm praying that God's making us those kind of friends that carry our friends that are hurting, that need a miracle in their lives, that need to be restored to Jesus, that we pray, we get on our knees. So this week, I'm telling you, as we close, as we wrap up, I'm telling you, I'm asking every one of us here, every one of us, if you're new to church here and you're, you know, inviting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so excited. We know that that will change and transform your life forever. But for those of you that have put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, received him as your Lord and Savior, I'm asking you, Monday morning this week, let's pray together. Let's intercede. Let's get on our knees for those that are hurting, that are broken, that are exhausted, that are wiped out in their faith, and let's carry them. Maybe a friend, a coworker, a family member, one of your kids, carry them to Jesus. Can we do that? New Hope, I'm praying that God will use us to be the body of Christ and be good friends and carry them to Jesus, because he will do amazing things. He will do a miracle in their life as we have our faith and our trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for just diving into your word and how your word comes alive. And Lord, I pray that we would see our desperate need for forgiveness. Lord, we may think this is what I need, this is what I need, but what we really need is forgiveness and healing and restoration to our Heavenly Father. And that's what you did on the cross. And all we have to do is receive you as our Lord and Savior and say, I'm going all in. I trust you with everything I've got, Lord. And I pray that that would be true for us today. But also, for those that are hurting and struggling and walking away from the Lord or have been hurt, Lord, in certain significant ways, I pray that you'd lay those people on our hearts and that we would get on our knees and that we would pray out and cry out to you. You are a good God, and we will carry them to the foot of the cross where you want to do a miracle in their lives and you want to heal them and restore them. And Father, that's what we pray you would do. We love you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand as we close in worship. Breaking new ground.
So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me a vessel.
So good to see you in worship this morning. So thanks for coming out on this cold day, and pray you have a blessed day. If you're able to stay afterwards for just a few moments and help stack up this side and rows of sick and stacks of sick, that would be helpful as we kind of get ready for Awana as they get to use that for game night. Hear the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a blessed week.